coming up on 3 and Out.
I don't think he was happy with the cologne I was wearing.
Von Miller lets his presence be known as the defense turned the lights out on the Chargers.
I was wearing a lot of, you know, and I guess he wasn't happy with it. I mean, I was on him at the end of the game.
Feeling good and smelling fresh, the Broncos look forward to a date with the Raiders.
Nothing will change this week as far as Brock's our starter and what we're doing.
Brock Osweiler will make his fourth start as the Broncos enter the fourth quarter of the season.
The rifles one of the end zone, pass to Demaryius Thomas, caught, touchdown Denver.
Hey, Evan Mathis.
What?
3 and Out starts right now. Thank you for joining us for this week's 3 and Out presented by American Financing, Colorado's home for home loans. The Broncos have won 3 games in a row and are now tied atop the AFC. There's plenty to talk about, so let's get this thing started. Time for first down now, and we're joined by Andrew Mason. And Mace, the Broncos offense came out, like head coach Gary Kubiak said, like gangbusters, scored that first touchdown, but the rest of the way only managed 3 points.
Yeah, brilliant drive to open the game, but then some stalling after that, really, I think, frustrating the offense. But at the same time, there were some moments that it can build on. You can look at that 50-yard drive that chewed up 6:37 late in the third and then into the fourth quarters when they got out of deep in their territory at their own 2-yard line. And really, that helped the defense rest and set the Broncos D up to shut down the Chargers at the end. That wasn't a scoring drive, but you have to call it a successful drive based on what it helped the defense do. And the other thing, you know, they had some scoring opportunities as well. Field goal missed, interception in the end zone. You clean up those mistakes, you're talking about a game that's 23-3. Maybe, you know, if they'd driven to a touchdown on the field goal drive, the one that was missed, maybe even 27-3. So there's some positives there. Just got to finish off better.
Yeah, and Kubiak on Monday mentioned that Osweiler will start against the Raiders, but he also had an update on Peyton Manning.
Yeah, Manning had the walking boot taken off on Friday. He stayed back in Denver over the weekend to undergo rehab work. Still no definitive timetable at this point for Peyton Manning returning, but taking incremental steps, and we'll see where he goes going forward. Of course, we know a plantar fascia injury, it's pretty tricky to come back from.
Yeah, definitely. Kubiak highlighted Manning's next steps during his Monday press conference.
The thought is that maybe starting Wednesday, depending on how things go, we start to throw, we start to do a little bit on the field type of stuff. So working towards some football things this week. So, but it has been a good weekend for him, and I know he's feeling better. You know, it's something that probably we could work while we're in meetings, or you know what I mean? So it's going to be total attention to where he's going. Luke's going to be involved in this. Everybody's going to be involved in the process, but we'll just start some form of football here.
Time for second down, and now we're joined by Matt Boyer. And Matt, this AFC race heading down these final 4 games is getting awfully interesting, especially with the Patriots losing this last Sunday.
You've got the Patriots up top with the Broncos and the Cincinnati Bengals. The Bengals and Broncos, it's going to take care of itself because those two teams play head-to-head. However, the Patriots do have the easier schedule of the two, Broncos versus Patriots. They're playing teams like the Texans, the Jets, the Dolphins. Meanwhile, the Broncos have Oakland, Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, and San Diego. You've got an Oakland team much improved from last season, and they played the Broncos close earlier this year. Pittsburgh just came off a great win on Sunday Night Football. Cincinnati, of course, right at the top of the AFC, and San Diego going to be looking for revenge in the finale in Week 17. So the Broncos definitely have their work cut out for them, but I think they do enjoy the fact that they control their own destiny. Win out, and you're the top seed in the AFC.
A lot of teams like to break the season down into 4 quarters. The Broncos heading into the last quarter, this time with the final 4 games, and they could clinch the AFC West with a win and some other help, right?
Kansas City, if they lose this week and the Broncos win, you're right. They do clinch the top spot in the AFC West. It would be a great feather in the cap before heading into those final 3 games. Every win counts at this point.
Yeah, it should be interesting. They're Kansas City playing San Diego this week, so it'll be interesting to see how everything plays out. But the Broncos know that their playoff goals have to wait because it all starts with the Raiders this week.
We all know we control our own destiny. We know we got four extremely tough games. We just need to focus on this game, taking it week to week. Because those, I mean, these last four games, this last month, is going to be a tough stretch.
You know, we all know what we have to do. You know, it's four games left. We have to finish out. You know, we got some good teams coming in here and a good Pittsburgh team on the road. So, you know, it's one of the things that we just got to worry about the Raiders right now and just keep chopping wood.
You know, I've been asked numerous times. I watch that film. I got enough things to worry about right now that are, you know, team related and us getting better and being as good as we can possibly be. We're down to the last month. We got a lot of challenges as a team and, you know, our focus will continue to be day to day.
Time for third down, and now we're joined by Ben Swanson. Third down, one of the most important downs. That's why we save you for third down. And we just heard the Broncos talk about how important this Raiders game is. The first go-around, it was a pretty close game, right?
Yeah, I mean, at the black hole, it left a bad taste in their mouth. I mean, it was 9-7 late in the game. Chris Harris Jr. picked off a pass, returned it for a touchdown. Kind of sealed the deal, but, I mean, that didn't really feel like one that was completely in the Broncos' grasp for the entire time.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the offense kind of struggled, didn't score a touchdown there. And you mentioned the pick six. That was against Derek Carr, but he's an improving quarterback this year, and he has more weapons, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, Crabtree on one side and Amari Cooper on the other. That's a great passing attack right there. However, interceptions have been a bit of an issue. Turnovers have kind of hurt them a lot. I mean, you look at the last game against the Chiefs. Carr threw three picks in the fourth quarter alone, led to 21 points. What was a lead for the Raiders turned into a deficit and kind of doomed them in that game. So, I mean, we've seen interceptions help the Broncos, and turnovers will be key for them in this one as well.
Yeah, definitely. And with Ben Swanson on third down, our third down efficiency is always looking good. The Raiders, though, they've lost four out of the last five, so with their playoff hopes on the line, the Broncos know this is a big game for the black and silver.
That's an improvement for our whole team, their whole team-wise. I mean, Carr really getting the weapons, having Cooper and Crabtree really helps him a lot. Those guys have been making plays all year for him, and it makes it easier for him to make those throws.
He's grown a lot as a quarterback. You know, he's developed. I mean, I think he's a great quarterback. I think the guy's accurate. He's poised. He's a good player. And he got some better weapons around him now. So he's definitely, you know, something you got to watch out for.
Time for fourth down, so let's punt things over to our social media department and Scott Ward.
Thanks, Phil. As always, great questions this week. We'll see if our guys can answer them. First one is for Mace, from David Florant, Mr. Dr. D. How do you see the projected salary cap rise affecting our ability to re-sign key players? Can only help, right? Right, Mace?
Oh, wait, you were talking to me on that one? Well, that's actually a very good question, David. And it can help this team's ability to sign key players, but the thing is the raise goes for every team in the league. So that means the price on each of these players is going to go up. What happens? You know, all these players that are looking at hitting free agency this spring, they see a potential $10 million increase in the salary cap, and they think, okay, that means my price is going to go up. So you still have to be careful. You still have to watch out for overpays, and you have to understand that maybe the market's going to shift a little bit. And, of course, the Broncos have a lot of items on their shopping list, including retaining some of their key players. So even though that $10 million will help, the money's going to go quickly.
Mace with the moves. Next question is from Blazin Hall. Are Sanders and Thomas content in a less consistent passing scheme? Marty, it's for you.
Scott, that's a great question, but that's not my name.
What do you mean? I said Marty.
No, my name is Matt, Scott. I've been here for a little over 4 weeks.
Yeah.
What? Okay, fine. Listen, Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders, both of those guys are extremely unselfish when it comes to the wide receiving core. You think about guys like C.J. Anderson and Ronnie Hillman opening things up for the passing game with that rushing attack up front. I think that both Sanders and Thomas, they just care about wins at this point. We're coming down to the last stretch of the season, four games left. Those guys aren't really concerned about their touchdown numbers. They're more concerned about wins. And if guys like Vernon Davis and Owen Daniels take away some of those receptions because of that running attack opening things up in the shorter passing lanes, I think DT and E will both be fine with that.
Milo, always good to have you on the show. The last question is from Robert Carmona. He is at Robert Carr. Is it more important to rest our injured players these last four games or play for home field? Swanson, your turn.
Oh, good question. That's a tough one. That is definitely a tough balance as you get towards the end of the season. This race shaping up between the Broncos and the Bengals and the Patriots is definitely going to be one to watch. However, a lot of veterans on the defense have already been nicked up. Marcus Ware has been trying to come back from a back injury. TJ Ward has an ankle. Sylvester Williams has an ankle. You don't want to make these injuries any worse than they are. So it's probably more important just to have these guys back for the playoffs, period. I mean, teams have gone through to the Super Bowl without needing that first round bye. So I don't know if it's really necessary. However, thank goodness it's not on me to make this decision, because that first round bye could be, you know, a pretty good benefit.
Thanks, Swanee. And Daniel Gonzalez, sorry, you're our number one fan, but we just ran out of time this week. Always good questions. The answers, who knows? Milani, back to you.
Thank you very much, Scott. That's going to do it for us. Special thanks to Andrew Mason, Matt Boyer, and Ben Swanson, and also Austin Brink behind the camera. That's been this week's Three and Out, presented by American Financing, Colorado's home for home loans.